Well, good day, everyone. It's great to see you here tonight, and I hope you're having a good long weekend so far. My name's Peter, if you haven't met me before. I'm one of the ministers here at St. David's. And just before I begin speaking, I'm going to pray, so please pray with us. Father, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for this chance to hang out, and we thank you for the word, your word, the Bible. And we ask now, Lord, that you would help me to explain your word truthfully and clearly, and that you'd help all of us, Lord, to understand your word rightly and to put it into practice in our lives. And we pray these things for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as Lauren mentioned, last week at 6:45, we began our new sermon series on the Jesus people met. We looked at the historical evidence for Jesus, and we saw that Jesus really existed. He's a real person. He existed in history. And that if we want to find out what he was like, who he was and what he did, well, we can read the Gospels, the New Testament Gospels, because they are an accurate historical record of his life and ministry. Well, this week and over the next 5 weeks at 6:45, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be looking together at the Gospels to see what they teach us about Jesus, about who he is and what he did and what difference that makes to us. Now, when you read through the Gospels, one of the things that is very clear about Jesus is that he was a teacher. More than 40 times in the Gospels, Jesus is referred to as a teacher. His ministry is often summarized as one of teaching. And in the Gospels, there's lots of examples of Jesus teaching. Clearly, Jesus was a teacher. And so tonight, we want to talk about the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is often considered to be one of the greatest teachers who ever lived. A few years ago, my wife Paula was given this book as a birthday present, Lend Me Your Ears, Great Speeches in History. One of the speeches in that book is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the passage that Jack just read for us. The writer J. Oswald Sanders said this about Jesus: Jesus abides without rival as the world's master teacher. In fact, Jesus is often described as the greatest teacher who ever lived. And when you read the Gospels, I think you can see why. Jesus was an amazing teacher. He was a master storyteller. He was able to teach the most profound truths with stories from everyday life. And Jesus was willing and able to teach people of any age, of any gender, of any social status. Jesus taught wherever he was, whether he was in the synagogue or down by the lake or walking along the road. Jesus' teaching was memorable. He used humor. He taught with certainty and with profound wisdom, and his teaching was radically countercultural. It was deeply challenging. It cut to the bone. Jesus was an amazing teacher. Wherever he went, people were amazed at his teaching. The people who met Jesus, who heard him teach, they marveled at his words. And so Jesus often attracted large crowds of people who came to hear him teach. And on more than one occasion, they listened to Jesus for so long that they missed meals, and Jesus had to feed them miraculously. Jesus was an amazing teacher. He always knew just the right question to ask to cut straight to the point. And his teaching, it was practical and it was relevant. One of the incredible things about Jesus' teaching is that it never gets obsolete. It is still as challenging and insightful and inspiring today as it was 2,000 years ago. People today still marvel at Jesus' words. He is surely the most quoted man in history. And a number of the things that he has said, they have entered into our English language as phrases. We still say things like, the blind leading the blind. We still describe people as the salt of the earth. They're phrases that Jesus coined. And more than that, Jesus' words changed history. And still today, Jesus' words have the power to change lives. Jesus was an amazing teacher. And so what a privilege it is for us to be able to read the Gospels and hear Jesus' teaching. And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. Now, obviously, we don't have time tonight to look at everything that Jesus said. Instead, what I want us to do is just to look at three things about Jesus' teaching, three remarkable things. First of all, I want us to notice that Jesus taught with great authority. And there's a very clear example of this in the passage that Jack read for us earlier. So open up with me to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, page 962. So Matthew chapters 5 to 7 are what is often called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It contains some of Jesus' most well-known teaching. And at the very end of the sermon, at the end of the reading that Jack did for us, Matthew tells us how the crowds responded. So look with me at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught with authority in a way that was different to the teachers of the law. Now, we need to understand that in Jesus' day, there were certain men who spent all of their time studying the Old Testament law. They were the teachers of the law. They were experts and they were very highly regarded. But when it came to teaching, well, they would teach by endlessly quoting other teachers, rabbis, who had lived before them. So they might stand up and say, in the matter of ritual washing, Rabbi Gamaliel says this. But on the other hand, Rabbi Hillel says this. Then Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with him, but Rabbi Shammai says something very similar, and on they would go. Teaching was full of quotations. They would memorize the rulings of previous rabbis and just pass them on. In fact, one rabbi who lived around the time of Jesus, a guy named Rabbi Eliezer, made the claim that he had never said anything that he had not heard from his teachers. In Jesus' day, the teachers of the law got their authority from quoting others and drawing on this pool of wisdom teaching from the past. But Jesus was totally different to that. Jesus didn't appeal to what other people said. He simply spoke and said, I tell you. Even the Old Testament prophets would begin by saying, this is what the Lord says. But Jesus just said, I tell you. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. But I tell you. Six times in the Sermon on the Mount, we find that phrase. Jesus saying, I tell you. Jesus' teaching rested on his own authority. And the people were amazed. They'd never seen anything like it. Jesus taught with this astonishing authority. And we see it again and again in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 4, we read this. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. Again and again, we see Jesus teaching with this great authority. And when we do, I think it's natural for us to ask, who is this? Who is this Jesus that he says stuff like this? That's certainly the question that some people in Jesus' day were asking. Who is this? And friends, that's exactly the right question. You see, Jesus teaches with authority because of who he is. Jesus teaches with this great authority because he is the Son of God. He is God, the Son. He's God with flesh on. That's why he teaches with such authority. When Jesus taught, he was not just speaking about God, he was speaking as God, with the authority of God. Listening to Jesus teach is listening to the voice of God himself. That's why the people were amazed at his authority. Jesus taught with great authority because he is the Son of God. Now, I think there's a very important implication for us here. If Jesus is the Son of God, if his teaching comes with the authority of God, then surely we dare not ignore what he says. And nor should we pick and choose which parts we will listen to. As some of you know, my wife Paula loves yum cha. She basically loves everything on offer. If it comes in a dumpling, Paula is looking to eat it. Now, I, on the other hand, am a bit less adventurous when it comes to eating. And so when I'm at yum cha with Paula, I'm always picking and choosing fairly carefully. I'll have one of those and one of those and none of those. And I reckon that that's how we sometimes approach Jesus' teaching. We treat it like the menu at a yum cha restaurant. We pick and choose which parts we will obey. We choose the parts that we like. We choose the parts that are convenient for us or that make sense to us, and we leave the rest. I like what Jesus says about not judging others. But that stuff Jesus says about greed, I'm not so sure about that. I like what Jesus says about God's forgiveness. I like the way that Jesus critiqued the religious leaders of his day. But that stuff Jesus said about hell, I don't agree with that. We want to treat Jesus' teaching like the menu at Yum Cha. We want to pick and choose what we will obey and what we will ignore. But friends, it's not our choice. If Jesus is the Son of God and his teaching comes with the authority of God, then we can't pick and choose what we will obey. Jesus is not giving suggestions. He is the Son of God. And we need to treat him as the Son of God. We need to recognize his authority. And we need to submit to it. Jesus finishes his Sermon on the Mount with a great story about a couple of builders. The first builder is a foolish builder. He's the sort of builder that you hear about on A Current Affair. He builds his house on the sand, and so when the storms come, the house falls down. The second builder, though, is a wise builder. He builds his house on the rock, and so when the storms come, his house stands firm. And Jesus says that if we hear his words and do not put them into practice, we're like that foolish builder. We're headed for disaster. But if we hear Jesus' words and put them into practice, then we are like the wise builder. And friends, that's what we need to do. We need to build our lives on Jesus' teaching. We need to recognize his authority and submit to it. And if we are serious about following Jesus, then what Jesus says should shape every area of our life. That's what it means for us that Jesus teaches with authority. So let me ask you, have you recognized Jesus' authority in your life? Well, the second thing that I want to highlight about Jesus' teaching is that Jesus practiced what he preached. Now, this is one of the things that I think sets Jesus apart from every other teacher. Jesus always practiced what he preached. Let me give you a few examples. Jesus taught us to serve others. That's exactly what he did. Even though he was the Son of God, he washed his disciples' feet. More than that, he went to the cross to die to serve others. Jesus taught us to speak the truth, and that's exactly what he did. He always spoke the truth. Jesus taught us to love our enemies. We saw that in the passage that was read for us earlier. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, he loved his enemies so much that he was willing to die for them. Jesus didn't just teach us, he showed us. He lived it out in his own life. He always practiced what he preached. Friends, there's no one else like Jesus. He was a great teacher. But he was far more than that, too. And that brings us to the third thing that I want to highlight about Jesus and his teaching. The third thing that I want us to notice is that Jesus often teaches about himself. Now, of course, Jesus taught about all sorts of things. He taught about prayer. He taught about anxiety and joy and generosity and marriage and sex and hypocrisy and suffering. He taught about the future, about heaven and hell. In fact, Jesus said more about hell than anyone else in the Bible. He taught about hope and forgiveness and peace. Jesus taught about all sorts of things. But one of the themes that he kept coming back to was himself. And so if we want to know what Jesus was like, who he was and what he's all about, a great place for us to start is with what Jesus says about himself. I want you to imagine that Jesus were here tonight. I think we can be fairly confident that if Jesus was here tonight, I wouldn't be preaching. Jesus would be. Now, if he was, what do you think Jesus would talk about? I reckon he'd talk about himself, because that's what he so often did. Jesus often taught about himself, and some of the claims that he made about himself were astonishing. One of the most remarkable things about Jesus, I think, is that he combined great humility with the most amazing claims any human being could ever make. I reckon we're fairly used to outrageous claims. We see them all the time in ads. We're used to seeing claims like this one. This is for Cis9 Trans 11. Increase your muscle growth by 700% in 7 weeks. It's remarkable. Or this one, earn $30,000 per month playing online poker. Or my favourite, the recent ad for Nike's new elite running socks. For those of you who are part of the Black Panthers running group, here's one for you. This is a quote from the Nike website. Achieve your perfect stride in the Nike Elite Cushion Stability 2.0 running socks. Strategic multi-density cushioning softens the impact where it counts. And Nike Swift technology helps reduce aerodynamic drag on the ankle. Now, I'm going to be honest and say that in my own running, I don't think it's aerodynamic drag on the ankle that's holding me back. We're used to hearing some pretty outrageous claims. But the claims that Jesus makes about himself, well, they make these claims look like nothing. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." That's a big call. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now notice, Jesus does not say, "I know the truth and I'll teach it to you." He says, "I am the truth." And he doesn't say, "I am a way." He says, "I am the way." That's a massive claim. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Jesus claimed to have power over life and death. Jesus claimed to have authority to forgive sins. Jesus claimed that he was going to come back and judge the world. Perhaps most astonishing of all, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus claimed to be God. That's a massive claim. Now, of course, Jesus is not the only person in history to claim to be God. But the difference with Jesus is that he backed it up. As we'll see over the next 5 weeks, Jesus proved that these claims that he was making about himself were true. Friends, Jesus often spoke about himself, and the claims that he made, they were astonishing claims. And I think that there's a couple of important implications for us here. First, these claims that Jesus made, these things that Jesus said about himself, mean that Jesus cannot be just a great teacher. If these claims are true, then Jesus is far more than a great teacher. And if these claims are not true, then Jesus is not even a great teacher. He's a liar or a lunatic. I reckon that if we went out onto the street tonight, up to the shops, and we stopped people and asked them, who do you say Jesus is? Well, I reckon, as Lauren was saying before, I reckon a lot of people would say, Jesus was just a great teacher. He was just a great teacher and nothing else. But friends, that's not possible. If Jesus was just a great teacher, then what business did he have saying, I and the Father are one? Or I am the way, the truth, and the life? Let me say it again. Jesus' claims are either true or they are breathtaking arrogance. If they are true, then Jesus is far more than just a great teacher. And if they are not true, then Jesus is not a great teacher. He is a liar or a lunatic. I think the Christian writer C.S. Lewis summed this up very well. This is what he writes. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Friends, the reality is Jesus is far more than just a great teacher. He is the Son of God. He is the way and the truth and the life. He has the power to forgive sin and the power to raise the dead and to judge the world. He is a great teacher. But he's far more than that too. I don't know what your picture of Jesus is. But if your picture of Jesus is just of a great human teacher, then can I say to you, that picture, it doesn't fit with what Jesus said about himself. That's not the historical Jesus. That's not the Jesus that people met. Well, there's one last implication for us in what Jesus taught about himself. And that is that Jesus is exactly who we need. You see, when we look at Jesus' teaching in passages like the Sermon on the Mount, it should be fairly clear to all of us how far short we fall of God's standard. Surely when we read the Sermon on the Mount, that passage that Jack read for us earlier, surely when we read that and we hear Jesus say things like, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, surely all pretense about our being good enough for God is gone. The reality is, we all fail God. And as a result, we all deserve God's judgment. And so we need help. And Jesus said that he's come to help. Jesus said that he'd come to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, Jesus offers to die, to take the punishment that we deserve so that we don't have to. And friends, that is exactly what we need. We need Jesus, not just as our teacher, but as our Savior. I think Jesus really was the greatest teacher ever. But as we've seen tonight, he is also far more than that. He is the Son of God. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the Savior that we need. Let's pray to him now. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you would be born into this world as a man, to live and to die in our place. We praise you for your teaching, which is so true and which remains so relevant to us today. Please help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your words and put them into practice. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are far more than just a great teacher. We worship you as God. We trust you as Saviour. Please help us, Lord Jesus, to live our lives in response to what you have done for us. And we pray these things for your glory. Amen.
Thanks, Pete. We've got a chance now to respond to God in song. So we'll sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.